Thank you. Agenda item number nine, Mr. Donald Porter Senior. Authorization to lease 6.6 acres of oyster planting ground. Mr. Batcher, I believe you had a game plan here on how to handle these oyster ground lease applications.
Then break down into the individual recommendations by the commission. At that point, I would suggest that the commission here open the hearing to one public hearing for all of them, since they're all basically, the protests are basically the same. And then after the public hearing is closed, I would suggest that the commission vote individually on each application.
Please proceed.
Try to get a little closer. You all seem to have problems hearing me most of the time. We've got five applications here for oyster ground. They're all in Pocomoke Sound. They're all within 2.5 miles of the town of Saxes. The issues here are basically the same. They're all protested. Donald Porter's requesting authorization for 6.6 acres. He's also requesting authorization in another area near North End Point for 84.89 acres. Harvey Drewer is requesting authorization for 145.49 acres and 3.26 acres in Robin Hood Bay, which is a portion of Pugmoke Sound, and that's protested. Leonard White is requesting authorization to lease 96.8 acres of oyster planting ground in Pocomoke Sound. It's protested. And A.W. Williams is requesting authorization to lease 124.58 acres of oyster ground. And this is at Long Point in Pocomoke Sound. Location of the project is Pocomoke Sound is this area in here, town of Saxes, Maryland, Virginia state line. Tangier is over here. The circle here is the general area of all five applications. Town of Saxes is in this general area, Robin Hood Bay, and Long Point's out here. As you can see, there's one causeway going in. There's marsh that surrounds the entire town. And this just shows the overview of all five applications. The order that we'll be addressing them will be Porter's application out here, and Porter's application over near North End Point, and the Drewer application, the White, and the Williams application. The depths of water start at about 2 feet on the Porter application and continue out to about 6 feet. The White application is approximately 8 to 9 feet. Porter is out as much as 10 feet of water. And Long Point with the Williams application is, again, somewhere in the 6 to 10 foot range. All the applicants plan to use their proposed lease for traditional shelling at the bottom, cultivating existing shell resources, or planting spat or seed oysters. The structures will be, if they are going to do bottom culture, will be structures will be less than 12 inches, which is part of their existing oyster ground lease or their lease if it's adopted. This is just another with our GIS and showing the photography with it. Town of Saxes, Maryland, Virginia line, right here. The issues that are presented to us on this is we've received a petition for 101 with 101 signatures for the Porter's two applications, the Drewer application, and the Williams application. We received these back in August and September of last year. We also received a cover letter, which included a protest for Mr. White's application. Some of you may remember at the July 23rd, 2013 meeting, during the public comment section, we received a protest on Mr. White's application from A.W. Williams. Protesters believe that the proposed lease areas contain natural oyster rocks that may not have been included within the Baylor survey of the natural oyster rocks, and therefore the area should not be leased. As part of our review, we contacted Mr. Wesson, Dr. Wesson, who is the VMRC Conservation and Replenishment Department Chief, for comments. Dr. Wesson had no issues with leasing the two Porter applications or the Drewer application. He did have concerns with the White application, the area being used for navigation and is unlikely to produce shellfish because of the muddy bottom. The Williams application, he had some issues with that. The application is in an area where visible observation by land is impossible. That's all the way out here off this point and there. And the area is unlikely to be planted since the source of seed or shell for oyster propagation are far away. Again, just a closer view, just showing what's around. The darker green is the public grind for Baylor. The lighter green is the applications for Porter, Drewer, and White. And the brown is the existing leases. On the other end, the Porter application is up here. It's these two little slivers. He's already got an application, or already has a lease there. And this is the William application in this area down here. It originally straddled the Pocomoke-Tangier management line. Since then, we've cut it back to the management line itself, so it's no longer inside the management area. Just to understand a little bit about the protest, and we felt like we needed to go back and go through a little bit of the history of the Baylor survey, since part of their concerns is that there may be some rocks that were natural and part of the should have been part of the Baylor survey, but right side of the existing survey. So I thought we'd give a little bit of history there. The survey of the oyster rocks to determine the natural rocks was authorized by the General Assembly back in 1892, and it was intended to protect the oyster industry from the for the Commonwealth. The act was amended in 1894 to state that all areas of the Chesapeake Bay and its tributaries not embraced in the survey of the natural oyster beds, rocks, and shoals shall be construed to be barren area and disposable by the Commonwealth for the purpose of planting or propagating oysters thereon. By defining the public beds, the survey also defined the barren grounds that could be leased by two planters. So anything that was not in the Baylor survey, the commission could lease and has done in the past. In 1892, a massive three-year survey was started through the Virginia's tidal waters to locate and map the natural oyster beds, rocks, and shoals. At the request of the Commonwealth, the U.S. Coast and Geodetic Survey assigned Lieutenant James Baylor to make the necessary surveys and maps on outlining the natural oyster beds, and this is known now as the Baylor Survey. These areas were reserved for the public shellfish harvesting and not be leased or used for other purposes. Lieutenant Baylor completed his survey in 1895, and there was approximately a little over 200,000 acres in the Baylor survey throughout the Commonwealth. 28.2-551 of the Code of Virginia states that surveys of the natural oyster beds, rocks, and shoals of the Commonwealth may be made pursuant to Chapter 511 of the 1892 Act of Assembly shall continue to be the surveys defining and determining the natural oyster rocks, beds, and shoals of the Commonwealth. The surveys and reports filed in accordance with this Act of Assembly are conclusive evidence of the boundaries and limits of all the natural oyster beds, rocks, shoals, and that there are no other public oyster beds or rocks or shoals. So basically, anything that was outside the Baylor survey, even if it was a rock, wasn't included in the survey and can be leased. That, to me, addresses some of their issues. But yes, there may be some rocks out there. Whether or not they were natural rocks that were proposed to be part of the original survey, Baylor survey, probably not. They could have easily have been old lease grounds at Bronzeville. Based on the above, staff believes all the natural oyster beds that were intended to be included were included, and the area outside the Baylor survey can be leased by the Commonwealth. or the commission, provided the commission believes the leasing of the grind is in the best interest of the Commonwealth. And with that, that's the general overview, and now I'd like to go to the individual applications and our recommendations. Donald C. Porter requests authorization to lease 6.6 acres of orchard planting ground near the state line. What you see here is the two portions that he's applied for. He already has from Brian a lease for 50.8 acres. And his application is just for the two slivers, which is 6.6 acres. And we'll make a new survey, if it's approved, that would include the slivers for 57.4 acres. Dr. Weston states that the application is closed. The application has two small gaps adjacent to his existing lease, and sees no issues with leasing the areas. Therefore, based on Dr. Weston's comments and the fact that 28.2-551 states that the Baylor survey is conclusive evidence of the boundaries and limits of all the natural orchard beds, rocks, shoals, and there are no other public orchard beds, rocks, or shoals, we're recommending approval of the above orchard grant application for 6.6 acres. Second one, again, requesting authorization to lease 84.89 acres of orchard planting ground near North End Point. This area right here. This area has been leased in some form or another since 1936. The last lease was for William Pepley.
We can't hear a word back here.
I can't get any closer. Can you turn that up? That's easy. Is this any better? Okay, good. The last lease was for William Pepley for 56.29 acres. That was surveyed in 1988 and was terminated in 1990. The application abuts public ground number 9, an additional public ground on the west. Here. The additional public ground was set aside by the General Assembly back in 1950. Dr. Weston indicates that the area has been leased in the past and easy to observe from Saxes. He also states that Mr. Porter has a history of planting both seed and shell and sees no issues with leasing the application. Mr. Porter is current on his mandatory reporting. Therefore, based on Dr. Weston's comments and the fact that 28.2-551 states that the Baylor survey is conclusive evidence of the boundaries and limits of all the natural orchard beds, rocks, shoals, and that there are no other public orchard beds, rocks, or shoals, and that the area has been leased in the past, staff recommends approval of the above orchard grant application for 84.89 acres. Third application is for Harvey Drewer. He's requesting to lease 145.49 acres and a 3.26 acres of orchard ground situated in Robin Hood Bay in Pocomoke Sound. Mr. Drewer's request is in an area that has been leased in the past. The 145.49 acre survey was leased in 4 different parcels to 3 different lessees. The parcels were terminated between 1987 in 1991, and it bans public ground number 9 on the west and other leases that are in Mr. Drewer's name on the north and south. Mr. Drewer has also applied for application also includes a small 3.626 acre area that is entirely surrounded by another lease of Mr. Drewer's. The area was leased last to Wesley Watkinson and was terminated in 1997. That's this little piece here. Mr. Drewer owns the lease all around it. The fourth application is for Leonard White. Requests authorization at least 96.8 acres of orchard planting ground situated adjacent to public ground number 9. in Pocomoke Sign. Mr. White's request is in an area that has not been leased in the past. The area appears to be used by barge navigation to and from Pocomoke River. The applicant's application is long and abuts public ground number 9 on the east for approximately 1 mile on this whole area right there. Dr. Wesson has concerns with allowing this area to be leased. This area is adjacent to public ground number 9 and is mostly muddy bottom. The area has been leased in the past and is used as a mooring area for large barges. Dr. Wesson believes it is unlikely that shells or seed would be planted on this bottom because of the soft mud and the tugboat traffic, which would wash any planted shell and seed. I've done a little overlay, and I've kind of lightened up the baler portion so that you can see it. The tugboat traffic comes down through the cut on the Maryland side, comes across, and it appears to come somewhere down through this area through here, and then shoots on at it, which would be right in the area where the application is. Accordingly, based on the area being used for navigation, it is unlikely to produce shellfish. Staff cannot support Mr. White's application and recommends the application be denied. And finally, A.W. Williams requests authorization to lease 124.58 acres of orchard planting ground situated west of Long Point in Pocomoke Sound. Mr. Williams' request is in an area that has not been leased in the past. The orchard ground application is bounded on the north and west by public ground 11 and on the south by the Tangier Pocomoke Sound management area. There are no orchard ground leases in the area, and the area cannot visibly be observed from Staxes. Tangier Pocomoke Sound management area was created by the General Assembly back in 1978 in order to protect and promote the oyster and clam fishery. As part of its management plan, the commission may open and close all or any portion or any parts of the management area for the taking of oysters or clams. The commission may also prescribe the manner, method, size, and season of oyster or clam catch. It should also be noted Mr. Williams' application came well into the management area, and we believe that in the past, anything that was in the management area that was requested for lease came in front of you before we actually surveyed it for your approval to lease in the management area. In this case, Mr. Williams pulled back to the outside of the management area. Dr. Wesson is opposed to leasing this area. He states that the application is in an area where visible observation by land is impossible. The adjacent management area has been poached routinely in this past oyster season when it was closed to harvest by the commission. A lease in this area would give year-round access to nearby shell plants in the management area. Dr. Wilson also indicates that the area is unlikely to be planted since the source of seed or shell for oyster propagation are far away. The watermen in this area depend heavily on the public harvest in Pocomoke Sound. Staff is a little unclear as to the applicant's intention since Mr. Williams signed a petition protesting all of the applications in Pocomoke Sound, including his own. In any case, based on Dr. Wesson's concern, that the leasing of oyster ground in this area may impact the adjacent Tangier Pocomoke Sound management area, where the watermen in this area depend heavily on the public harvest, staff recommends denial of Mr. Williams' application. Staff also believes that leasing of the ground is not in the best interest of the Commonwealth. With that, I'm sorry. I understand I skipped over Drewer's recommendation. Okay. I apologize. Harvey Drewer, 13-027. Based on Dr. Wesson's comments and the fact that 28.5.1 states that the Baylor survey is conclusive evidence of the boundaries and limits of all the natural oyster rocks, beds, and shoals, and there are no other public oyster beds, rocks, or shoals, staff recommends approval of the above oyster grant application for 145.49 acres and the 3.26 acres. I apologize for skipping over that.
Thank you, Mr. Bassett. Any questions from the commission? Mr. Bellet.
Mr. Badger, do you know, I see reference in one communication here to the desire to have a 1,000-yard boundary between the public rocks and any leased grounds. Do you know if there's any discussion with the applicants to maybe create a buffer area between the leases and the public grounds?
There hasn't been any discussion. We lease, as you can see, we've got adjacent leases throughout.
Okay.
Sorry. We've got adjacent leases throughout that go right up to the Baylor survey, and this is normal procedure throughout Virginia.
Any other questions from the commission? All right, let me open the door here for a public hearing. Does anybody wish to be heard in favor of these five lease applications? Just in favor. Porter, I need to swear in, if you would, please. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help you, God?
I do.
Thank you very much. Please state your name for the record.
Don Porter.
What would you like to tell the commission?
The piece we're looking at right now, the main reason I got that, I just wanted to close it in. It was like 6.8 acres. I went down to the Hank's office to see if it would be leased. Nobody could tell me if it could or if it wouldn't, where it was this small. So I just applied for it, just to lock it in. The other piece, I plan on planting the spat on the shelf. It's got, like Hank said, it has bottom from years before. Some of it sunk. I intend to go there with a bagless dredge to dredge it up, bring it up, make it profitable, you know, put the plant on the spat on the shelf. Basically, all I have to say.
Any questions from the commission? Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Porter.
Thank you.
Is anybody else here who wishes to speak in favor of any of these five voice of ground lease applications? Please come forward, sir. You hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, help you God?
I do.
Please state your name for the record.
Leonard White.
Right.
I applied for that 96 acres, and I was looking to get into the archer industry a little bit, plant some shells and stuff, but I guess that the tugboat does come up and down there, and I was hoping it had a sunken rock on it, something I could start with. I never went out and looked. I really don't know. So I applied for something to try to get started is what I've done.
Okay, so you're really not sure whether or not there's any real need to have this? There's just maybe perchance there might be?
Well, I was looking, and it's a good striking area and stuff, and so if you could find something there that you could have, that was sunken bottom or something, and you could have got up or something, and I do believe there is some opportunity out there, and you got something you can start with, so. Okay. And it's the first piece I've ever applied for, so.
Okay. Any questions, Mr. White? Thank you, sir. Anybody else wishing to testify in favor of any of these five lease ground applications? Anybody who wishes to testify against any of these lease ground applications? Please come forward, sir. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help you out?
I know, yes, sir.
Thank you. Please state your name for the record.
My name is Michael Clare.
Mr. Clare.
I'm a full-time waterman for about the last 32 years, living on Saxis, North End Point, right out from these oyster beds. I want to thank the commission for putting shells on, planting 200,000 bushels of shells around 4 acres of new rock they created for us. We appreciate that. These four leases, though, will take away 333 acres of good ground, not mud. A lot of these, there's 22 acres of hard rock that we worked last year. All of the watermen, including Don, I'm not a real good speaker, including Don and Leonard, we were all working these beds. They've been working for generations, a lot of these beds. I was not considering taking the day off, but I had to come over here today because I thought, realized this was too important to let go. watch hundreds of hardworking watermen and their families let these leases go. There are oysters on these leases right now that we worked last year. We took like thousands of bushels of oysters off some of the leases that they want to have. And we used the money for the local economy. As far as I know, no one made these grounds. They were just there. So they are rock. Two of the applicants, the watermen themselves, worked these grounds beside the other watermen. Last year, for sure. And in years past, hand pony. Brings me to an important question. Why now, after all these years, are these things coming up? We're changing two of three applicants are on boards, of oyster boards, so they realize things going on. And a third party is a close friend of the two. Could it be after reviewing the Baylor surveys, one of these committees, they noticed these grounds were not included? Why is this not noticed for so long? Did being on these boards have any influence on their knowledge? If so, this is in a conflict of interest. Is it sort of like inside trading? That's a question that needs to be looked at. I've been speaking to a lawyer a little bit about it. He tells me it could be a good cause for a lawsuit against the BMRC and the parties involved. I sincerely hope this would not come about because of money unnecessarily spent. The next question I had was about conservation. I thought everyone was trying to restore the oyster population. Millions of dollars were spent on this concept, including shells. What do these individuals want with these leases? Don said he wants to put shells on these leases. He's already got leases that could use shells on them. Why does he need more shells bottom? Because it's got good rock on it. If you give them these things, you don't have any control. VMRC has no more control over what's taken off this bottom. Gone. If he wants to take everything off the bottom, 2-inch oysters, he can do it. That's not conservation to me. Conservation would be leave oysters on the bottom and plant seed. If he wants to do that, not take the oysters that are there, that's conservation. You won't be able to control the harvest. Sorry. The last point I wanted to consider making was the decision that I personally worked all these places under consideration. Me and many other boats caught our limit every day, placing thousands of oysters just undersized back on these rocks. Some of these are beds are the best beds I've ever worked. The places are fairly protected so you can work. It's small boats, big boats, everybody can work them because it's in an area that's not real rough. You go down the sound a little ways, and it's really rough down there. You can't get small boats to work in the wintertime a lot of time. So it takes that opportunity away. I counted last year on these rocks, not all on that same rock. They were everywhere. There was 150 licensed watermen, paid $300 each for the right to work on these grounds. VMRC got $45,000 in fees from these grounds, from people working on them. How much are you going to get from three leases? $300, $400, $600? Doesn't make sense to me. You're going to miss out on $45,000. The guys are going to get their license anyway, but they should be able to work on these rocks. Nobody I know is against leasing grounds to anyone if they invest in them and if there's nothing on them to start with. I've got 20 acres I purchased a couple years ago and put spat on shell in. I put 1,500 bushels of oysters on it. And it's in Pocomoke Sound. I find myself no positive reasons to grant these three requests to turn over the oyster beds worked by generations of watermen to three individuals, denying income to over 150 families. Thank you for hearing.
Thank you, Mr. Clare. Does anybody else wish to be heard on this matter? Anybody against these for these applications? Please come forward, sir. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, help you God?
I do.
Please state your name for the record.
My name is Arnold Ray Evans.
Thank you, sir.
I'm 79 years old. I've been working these rocks. I started with my father when I was 12 or 15 years old. We worked every Saturday. I was out of school on these same rocks. Same rocks that Porter and Drewer were applying for. And the hand tong, and then we went dredging. It's for all my life I've been working on these rocks, along with my fellow man. And we protested, as you all know, the application for this ground. So we thought it stopped. We thought it was all over with. We're just ignorant of that. So somebody said that all these grounds have been surveyed. So we go down and see Paul Rogers, and we get the plats for the ground that was surveyed. So we go out in the boat to a sophisticated depth finder, and we check these grounds out. And it includes the biggest part of where we worked at last November. Solid rock and loaded with horse. And if Mr. Porter and Mr. Drewer, I swear that it's not any oyster rocks in that survey of that piece of land, I'm willing to let them have it. But we also, before this, we invited Paul Rogers, I mean, to Jim Wesson, to come after we run the depth finder and check it out, to come and check it again before they leased it. And he said he was too busy. But I don't think this is very important to us. It's our livelihood and my grandson's livelihood. And before it's leased or granted, I think it should be come up there and checked out because it's loaded with horse. You know, that's all I have to say. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Evans. Anybody else wish to be heard? Seeing none, the matter is before the commission. I think we need to address these one by one. First application by Mr. Porter is for 6.6 acres. And the staff recommendation is approval. Any discussion? Mr. Erskine.
I guess I have a general question before
yeah, please.
We get into the individual application. It might be Hank, I guess, or Jim, if he's around. And there's been some discussion or testimony about harvesting oysters in these areas that would be considered public rocks. Is that, were they harvesting in those areas? I mean, or is it hard to say?
Well, last year we opened a special season up there, and the only area that was open was Public Watch 9 that follows that track. This is all that was open. If they were harvesting over here, they were harvesting off the open area.
Okay.
The other area that was open was public ground number 10 over here. So these areas that are being requested as being leased were released previously, and they were not open during the public season.
Okay. Thank you.
Ms. Haney.
That was my question. Which of the areas have been leased before? I heard you mention some of them have been previously leased.
This area had been leased by, I believe, four different leases.
Can't hear you.
Sorry. This area up here for the Drewer application had been leased by three or four different leasees. And up until, I believe it was the last one was in the late 80s. Thank you. Let's see. The Porter application, the last lease, is this area down here. The Porter application has been leased off and on since 1936. So there was rocks on that.
Okay.
As far as the Harvey Drewer application, which is this application, three different leasees, four different parcels. They were terminated in between 1987 and 1991. And the, this little piece here was, I believe it's actually Tony's uncle, Watkinson, that had this leased up until 1997. And that's a donut hole surrounded by Drewer, and of course Drewer's all around it. So this, both these areas have been leased.
Let me ask you, is that leased by the commission here, or who's that leased from?
Yeah, it's leased from us. Yes, it's.
Yes, leased two individuals by the commission. Mm-hmm. Mr. Beck, you have a question?
Yeah. Are there other leases down in the left-hand side of this page, or is there any other other existing leases today?
That's in brown is all the leases, and the public ground is in the darker or this color green. Would it help if we darken the?
I think we can see it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All the green area is public ground. The brown area is existing leases. There's still some vacant area that was leased up until the die-off in the 80s and 90s. Now, this area was full of leases all the way up to the state line. This area had not been leased in the past, and this one had not been leased in the past.
Mr. Seahunt, kind of to explain a little bit here, the public oyster grounds were mapped out 120 years ago, and they have been the public oyster grounds ever since. My impression from some of the comments today is that while they think that there are good public, there are good rocks and good oysters next to them, that they should have been part of the public oyster grounds. But it's 120 years, a little too late to rehash that government action, is where I'm coming from.
Yes. Well, what is it? Could you explain to me what is the plus of leasing these new grounds?
Well, leasing these grounds allows these applicants here to plant fat on shell and to shell this and to grow oysters
to
and to harvest them.
Improve the.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I got to ask. So the comment that was made that some of the watermen last year were getting the oysters over these areas would indicate that maybe they were in the wrong spot?
That's correct.
Thank you.
No, sir. The public hearing is closed, sir. The matter is before the commission. Any other questions from the commission? All right. Well, I would suggest that we take these applications one by one. No, you had a chance to speak, sir. You already testified. The first application is here from Mr. Porter for 6.6 acres.
Move reapproved.
We have a motion by Mr. Beck to approve.
Staff's recommendation.
Staff recommendation. There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Sessions. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? Staff, excuse me, chair votes aye as well here. Motion passes unanimously. And the second application here is also by Mr. Porter for 84.89 acres.
Motion to approve staff recommendation.
Motion by Mr. Erskine to approve staff recommendation.
Second.
Second by Mr. Beck. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? Chair votes aye as well. Motion passes unanimously. Third one is for Mr. Harvey Drewer of 145.49 acres and an additional 3.26 acres.
Motion.
Staff recommendation was to approve.
Motion to approve staff recommendation.
Motion by Ms. Haney.
Second.
Second by Mr. Ballard. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? Chair votes aye. Motion passes unanimously. Next is Mr. Leonard White for 96.8 acres. And the staff recommendation was denial. This was the mooring area.
Move we accept the staff's recommendation.
Motion to accept staff recommendation to deny the application. Is there a second?
This was, can I ask a question?
Yeah, Ms. Haney.
This was an area that has not been previously leased, am I right?
that had not been leased in the past, and it's basically a mooring area for large barges.
I'll second.
Right. Motion by Mr. Beck, and a second by Ms. Haney. Any discussion? Additional discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? Chair votes aye as well here. The staff recommendation is accepted, and the application is denied. The last one is Mr. Williams, 124.58 acres. And this was a staff recommendation for denial.
Recommend the staff's recommendation.
Motion by Mr. Beck here to accept staff recommendation. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Ballard. Second by Mr. Ballard. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Any noes? Chair votes aye. Staff recommendation is accepted unanimously here, and the application is denied. That concludes the Oyster Ground lease application.